Good morning to each of you. It's indeed a blessing to be here. Although I guess I am an alien this time. And I hope not from outer space. When Brother Jonas talked to me some time ago about being here Teachers Week, I already started looking forward, or I did look forward and continue to look forward to this time. Especially looking at the subjects that we have before us, the sessions on having an Anabaptist mentality. Brother Glendon introduced himself, and I don't know if I need much of an introduction. My wife, Joanne, and I live at Neepawa, Manitoba. That's in the western part of Manitoba. And that's not where we grew up, but that's where the Lord has chosen us to be. We are parents of four children, although none of them are living at home right now. Two married daughters and two sons. Then, of course, we have one special little grandson who we think the world of. The Lord called me into teaching a little older than some of you. I was 24, young married man. We're part of a Russian Mennonite congregation. That was our background. Enjoyed life, enjoyed the Lord. And I had a six-week-old little girl in my arms. And the thought came to me, in 6 years, this little girl is going to go to school, and what am I going to do? We knew nothing about Christian education. Our experience was only public education, my wife and I, our background, our people. Homeschooling was something that was so new that to us it didn't even exist. So yes, yeah, I am from a different era, I guess. And we started praying. God would somehow show us. We had 6 years, but show us what he wanted us to do. The Lord has wonderful ways of showing his people his things. We thought if I could maybe teach in a... We knew that there were Christian schools. If I could maybe teach in one a year or two, maybe at least it would give me somewhat of an insight as to whether Christian education was something valid, something workable. So I started teaching. I guess I'm still trying to think if it's workable, because that's 30 years ago and I'm still there. Not at the same school, no, but still in the same work. And I hope I have another 30 years to try it. Because teachers, it's the most wonderful thing to do. It is. It's great. It's hard. But it's a work that somehow just gives me adrenaline, gives me satisfaction, gives me a blessing. When I saw this morning how many of you are planning to step into the classroom for the first time as a teacher, you know what my prayer was? Lord, I pray that they won't fail after the first time around. Just give them another chance. Most teachers quit after 1 or 2 years and think this doesn't work. Keep on going. I'm still there. And it's worth it. It's worth it. I had that temptation to quit after the first year. I'm glad I didn't, because I probably would never have gone back. But my life has been richly blessed by sticking it out. And hopefully making a difference in the lives of some people. Presently, my work is with Christian Light Education. I have a title there, if that means anything to anybody. Field Services Director. And so I get involved in teaching teachers a lot. And workshops and things like that. But this week we're here to look at what God wants us to do. Helping students think like Anabaptists. Brother Glendon already laid a very good foundation this morning when he said, you got to be one. You got to think like one. Not just carry the title, but think like one. And the subject I have this morning is especially through the subjects of history, civics, current events, geography, the whole social studies element of study that we have in school. How can we help our students have an Anabaptist mentality? How can we cultivate that? And I've given you some of the notes there. Thank you, brother. I, first of all, would like to remind us that Anabaptists have a different people that we can look back to for some of our modeling, and that's the Jewish people. And the early Christian church as well. I'm impressed with what Moses and what other men of old said. If we read Psalm 78, I won't read it, it's a long psalm of history. But it says we are going to tell this story. We won't hide it from our children. We will show to the generation to come the praises of the Lord, the strength of the Lord, his wonderful works, because he established a testimony in Jacob. He appointed a law in Israel that these things should be known to their children, that the generation would come would know, and even those that were not yet born, and that they would arise and declare it to their children, that they would set their hope in God. And Moses, when he reiterates the Jewish historical record to the people of Israel before his passing, he says, and he brought us out from thence, out of Egypt, that he might bring us in. And he says, just don't forget the story. Then we have the Apostle Paul talking to his student, Timothy. And he says in 2 Timothy 2, verse 2, the things that you have learned of me, that you heard about me, that you heard from me, those same things commit to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also. Paul was not just concerned that Timothy would catch the vision, but that the students of Timothy would catch it. And so we're not here just not to shove some things, historical facts, into the minds of children who go by Mennonite names and come from Mennonite homes and go to Mennonite or Anabaptist schools. But we're here to make sure that truth gets passed on down the road. That was one of the things that God impressed upon the Jewish people again and again. And he used history. And he used culture. He used lifestyle as an identity mark of who you are. Now I know that can make us rather egotistic. That can give us an identity that is not godly. But I believe it can be a helpful thing in identifying us with God's people who love truth and who want to walk in it in a very literal, godly, daily way. What is it like to think as an Anabaptist, especially as we focus on history, geography, civics, current events, those kind of things? I believe one key element, and there's many we could talk about, but one key element is a good understanding that there are two kingdoms And I can't have a long delineation of what those are, but you know, there's a kingdom of God. There's a kingdom of this world. It has to do with a spiritual mindset. That we belong to the kingdom of God. And when you're a citizen of the kingdom of God, really that's the only citizen you are. Somehow we have the idea that you can have dual citizenship spiritually. That doesn't work. I'm a Canadian, and I'd love to have dual citizenship. It's difficult to get. I've tried. Not easy to get. Although I understand that the American government doesn't officially recognize dual citizenship. They tolerate it. But the kingdom of God doesn't even tolerate it. Doesn't even tolerate it. You say, oh, wait a minute. This man is from outer space. No. But as we teach history, as we teach geography, as we teach the social sciences, we have to teach it from the aspect that we're teaching those things that are of a kingdom from which we are to quite an extent disassociated. Yes, we live here. Yes, we have an earthly recognition of status as to what country we live in. I understand those things. We have that. But really, we're aliens. We're foreigners. We're pilgrims. We're strangers. And really, we're here just basically as ambassadors. We take the benefit that we can to bless others. But we're really just ambassadors from heaven to earth. And I believe that will then color how we will teach Canadian history, American history. It's not so much a we mentality. It will color how we teach civics. Because we teach it from somewhat of a disassociated view, vantage point. We're an ambassador. Now, ambassador is a representative of one country but lives in another. He has diplomatic status and he acts as a tactful individual. He better. He's there to represent that country. He's there to do his best that people in the country where he's residing, that they understand the country from where he comes. But he's there in the interest of the country where he has his citizenship. And that's really our task as a Christian. That's really our mentality as God's people. And I believe that will reflect as we teach the social sciences. We're going to look at that. Probably social studies, more than any other subject, help students identify who they really are and what they should be in relation to God and to the rest of the world. That we are of a different kingdom. That we really are not at home. That doesn't mean that we distort the facts or avoid the facts. I believe it means we interpret the facts. And we interpret them from the vantage point of the country from where we come. Not the country where we now live. Another concept of thinking as an Anabaptist is the matter of God's sovereignty in the world, even over this earthly kingdom, that God sets up government and tears it down. And God is in control of the geographical situations that happen in the world, and the weather and climate and all those issues, that's part of His design and His making, that God is in control. It's easy these days to get people very unsettled about what's happening in the newspaper. As Brother Glendon shared this morning, I think it's true. We need to interpret the newspaper events in light of what's it like to be a citizen of the kingdom of God. That some of the things that happen are by God's design, some of the things are happening because of the free will of man, and the consequences of living in a world that has chosen free will in many wrong ways. God is still in control. History has taught us that again and again. And current events should ratify and verify that to us again and again too. Another concept of thinking as an Anabaptist is the whole matter of relationships, which is what a lot of social sciences is all about. The matter of teaching peace and being non-resistant. See, I had a situation when I was a school teacher in Alberta, Canada. Where the public school official, it was a private school, public school official came and gave us a friendly visit like he would do on an annual basis. And I always enjoyed when he visited. And he looked at the scope that we were using of studies. And he said, I just have one concern. He says, what is that? Well, you're teaching too little Canadian content. Okay. I says, may I see the Alberta scope? So he showed it to me. In fact, I probably had a copy of it somewhere. I says, sir, I says, I have a comment too. I says, I say this with all respect. As I observe the scope of studies for Alberta students at that time, I believe it was about 9 or 10 of the 12 years that a student studied social studies, either the studies were Alberta studies or Canadian studies. And I says, my students live in a world. It says, I definitely want them to understand Alberta, Canada. It says, but I hope that's going to be broader than that. And of course, you and I know that these scopes and even a lot of curriculum writers that are, how should I say, nationalistic, they are there to program, to get a student thinking according to the nation, to that country. And that's why they say what they say, and that's why they don't say what they don't say. Well, thinking as an Anabaptist, we have to read through that. Especially when it comes to dealing with such issues as peace and non-resistance, the whole matter of war, militarism, patriotism, Those things are taught with a purpose in the educational world. The whole matter of all these concepts. There's a reason for that. They want students to think like Americans, to think like Canadians, to have their heart there. They do. But teachers, that fights against the heavenly king concept of kingdomship. It does. And so, in our social studies classes, probably more than any other, these two kingdoms will tend to clash. And it's all right, as long as the heavenly kingdom always wins out in your class. The whole matter of respecting and caring for people, relating to culture, people's needs, very important part of thinking as an Anabaptist. Let's go on. How can we teach these concepts? I only have about 15 minutes or so, and so we're going to rush a bit. First of all, tell the Anabaptist story. And teachers, I hope that if you are teaching history or geography, if you're teaching these social sciences, I hope that you love reading Anabaptist history. Reading Anabaptist history is more than reading dates and names and facts and places. It's a tapestry. It's a weaving, and it's fascinating. It is. So tell the story. I have a lot of friends that are part of the Hutterite people, the Hutterian brethren. I work among them a lot. They are my neighbors. And I get into their settings a fair bit. I find among Anabaptist circles, probably the Hutterite people know their history better than any other Anabaptist group generally. Why? Because it's told. It's told. And it's told. And these children, they grow up hearing these stories about Hans Krehl. They grow up hearing these stories about Jacob Hutter. They grow up, you know, and it identifies them as to who they are, where they belong. So tell the story. He says, I don't have time. It's amazing where you can weave it in. If you can't do a local history study, then read the books, the biographies. Incorporate the information that your history book won't have. If you're teaching American history, Canadian history, they will have very little comment about our Anabaptist people and where we came from, and how we are here. But you know, it's an intriguing part of history and identifies your students as to where they belong. I come from the Russian Mennonite people, and of course, so that part of history is especially of interest to me. It is. I don't find in Canadian history textbooks that they say very much at all about, I don't know, 20-some thousand Mennonite people leaving in the 1920s and moving to Latin America. That's just left out. I know why it's left out. Because it does not fit Canadian history standards. They left because they were not going to be a nationalistic, patriotic people. That's why. Or are people moving from Pennsylvania to Ontario before the Revolutionary or during the Revolutionary War? And in Canadian history, books are just talked about as being loyalists. It's more than loyalists. They were loyal to a different kingdom. That's what it was. So you got to read between the lines. Tell the story. But to tell the story, you have to know the story. And teachers, it's one thing if you're teaching a class on history and you say, okay, students, now I want you to go to the library and I want you to get that Introduction to Mennonite History book and I want you to read this chapter. You say, ooh, yuck. Another history book. But if you tell the story, okay? There's something about a teacher telling the story. It's going to stick, it's going to cause interest, and it's going to motivate them to look further. It will. So tell the story. But in order to tell the story, you got to know the story. Whether it's your particular subculture of Anabaptism or Anabaptism in general, you got to know the story. Frankly, I'm a little jealous of you teachers that are going back into the classroom because I'm not planning to go back to the classroom this fall. My classroom is a little bigger than yours, unfortunately. But I'd love to. I would. Several years ago, I had the opportunity of being in Europe and with a group of students from Bible school. Oh my, I'd have a lot of stories to tell. Netherlands, Germany, Switzerland. Oh. There's so much that has happened that our people need to know. Tell the story. B, as you teach your civics classes, government, civics and government, incorporate the whole system of two kingdoms. That we are a people here that have rights, but we don't necessarily claim rights. But we're responsible aliens and pilgrims. See, a pilgrim is not a vagabond. A pilgrim is a responsible person who's going somewhere, but he's not there yet. And he is in strange territory. That's really who we are. That doesn't mean that we're irresponsible. No. But we have a different relationship. Than those that are not part of the kingdom of God. We do have responsibilities to pray, to be a separate people, to respect, to obey, to submit, to pay. All those things? Yes. I crossed the border yesterday at the airport. I've had some difficulties the last while. And in my heart, I must tell you, I confess it is a little difficult being respectful. Well, we try. And it worked. They were very nice to me. They were very nice. They asked where I was going. I said, to a teacher's meeting, a teacher's convention. And they didn't even ask what I was talking about being a heavenly citizen, because they probably wouldn't have let me through had I said that. But I have to always remind myself, When I come into the U.S., I'm not at home. But really, I have to remind myself that when I'm in Canada, too. I'm not at home. Now, you act different at home than what you do at other people's places, don't you? I hope so. I hope so. Because if you don't, then please don't come to our house. I don't know what we're going to do. I'll be non-resistant, don't worry. But do we act at home too much where we shouldn't? But we have a responsibility to be an ambassador, to be salt, to be light, to serve, to give testimony, to be actively involved as an alien. As an alien, not as a citizen. Teachers, and if that's the only thing you want to remember that I said this week, I think I've got everything said that I should say. Because that's what I believe it is to be part of the kingdom of God. Exactly that. And so we teach history, geography, and those things from that perspective. We talk about current events and how God is directing. And we show needs in the world and how God is directing. Now, I don't know how governed you are by what you have to teach in which grade. But I hope that when your students finish going to your school, that they have a rather rounded world view from the kingdom of heaven's point of view, and not just a rounded American or Canadian view. Okay? I've had the opportunity to go to Liberia several times. We're actually working on a social studies curriculum there. Brother Chester's working with me. He's working and I'm just sitting around. Doing other things. We're working on a curriculum, a Christian social studies curriculum geared especially for Liberians. It's interesting. You know, and I'm reading up on an era, on history from a part of the world I have known absolutely next to nothing about. But it's interesting. It's very interesting. It should be in our social studies books too. There's some good material there. And so to study other cultures, other histories, and even their current events, and have communications with people from other cultures is so important. I don't want to do a lot of comparison between the U.S. and Canada, but there's one major difference that you will soon see if you've ever lived in both countries, and that is that the United States is very much a melting pot mentality where you become American. Canada is much more a multicultural mentality where you're Canadian and yet you're still Chinese or German or everything else. And you can, now there again, it becomes an issue in some cases. But the appreciation of culture and of people who come from other backgrounds, that's why we have so much misunderstanding in our world today. And I believe as citizens of the kingdom of heaven, we have a responsibility that our children, our young people, learn to respect, appreciate, understand those that are different. Those that come from a different background than what I do. And to be open-minded. I've had the opportunity to travel and be in quite a few cultures. I believe that makes for, there's a richness that comes with that. It really does. And I it's important, teachers, that in ways that we bring that richness to our classrooms. We might not be able to take them to Europe and to Africa and to South America. It would be nice if our school boards would have that kind of money. But we don't. But there are so many other ways, with media, with studies, with resources, that we can do these things. And how can I meet the needs of people? And you can do various things. I want to talk about something that I did one of the years that I taught. It was a lot of work, but my students enjoyed it. We called it a missions fest. We had divided the students into various groups according to continent. And one period a week, each group got together, and they could write to missionaries that they knew that were on that other continent, and they'd get letters back. And they'd study about the countries where these people were living and their culture and you know, their religious setting and all these different things. They'd study about that. Toward the end of the year, we had what we called a missions fest, where each group made a presentation. We used the meeting house, the church house. Each group had a table or two with artifacts and so on, samples of letters and stamps and all these kinds of things. Each group had an oral presentation, maybe sang some songs or read some scriptures in languages that were spoken on that continent, told about some of the things that they had learned and had communicated. Then later on, we had a very multicultural snack. But it broadened our worldview. It broadened it very much. And so get people, involve people in helping your students think as an Anabaptist. Teach geography from that vantage point. Because people are somewhat products of their surroundings. They always are. Your environment has influence and impact on you. And I know it's easy in our society today to think of anybody other than us as them, and that they are strange. And so much nicer if we can learn to appreciate who they are. So teachers, helping your students think as an Anabaptist, identify with the past, then tell the story. Identify with your present and show your students what needs to be done. God bless you.